There's a spirit in our land raising up the kind of man with a burning in his heart to be free. Like the preacher men of old, he can't be bought, he can't be sold. What did they preach? They preached liberty to a people who loved their liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. We'll guard our liberty. They call the king into accounting for his disregard of law, told their people not to yield before his threats. For God established rulers to protect the rights of man, and ordained government to fit into his plan to maintain his people's liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. Such preacher men today to show our people the way to redeem their lost liberty. The fires of hell cannot prevail against one man who'll take the stand from the pulpit, expose tyranny, and teach his people liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. Speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, this jury says, not guilty, we choose to acquit. The state was wrong to charge him, this law is not fit. For a people who love their liberty, for a people who will die for liberty.
Jesus for that cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood. Savior's side, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you
washed in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb?
And good evening, folks, and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is April 2nd, 2026, and we welcome you for Passover. We thank you for being here this evening with us. Before we get started, we're going to go ahead and have a song. This one is Power in the Blood. But before we do that, let us go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to be here together. And we're thankful, Father, for those that gather with us here in person and those that gather with us through the internet and through DVDs. Lord, we just pray that as we come before you this evening and as we apply that blood of the Lamb to our lives, we pray, Father, that we may be pleasing in your sight and that you may do mighty things through us and with us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. We'll have that song, Power in the Blood.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, there is power, wonder working power. Your King, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood.
Amen. Well, there is power in the blood, and that's one of the reasons that we gather together this evening. And, You know, I've been working on trying to come up with, gather my thoughts for this Passover service for the last week. And I read a lot of scriptures, and I wrote down a lot of scriptures. And I have a lot of scriptures that we're going to go over, so bear with me. But, you know, as I was, you know, I talking with somebody just a couple of days ago, they said, oh, that's a Jewish ritual. And then I talked to somebody else, and they talked to us, and they talked to me about, and they basically said that it's a Hebrew ritual or basically a holiday. And I kept going back to the reason that we keep Passover. And I really believe that it's just, it's out of obedience. And I think that, I mean, there's a lot of things, reasons why we do it. There's a lot of benefits that I do believe that we do get, from keeping Passover. But I think the most important thing that we do and are doing is just plain and simply being obedient because our Heavenly Father said to do it. And I've got a list of scriptures that I'm going to go through, and I'm not going to say a whole lot in between them, but if you have your Bibles, please follow along. If not, I'm just going to read them, and I'll try not to read them too fast. I know that I've been corrected recently and was told to slow down, and I don't need to speak so fastly, and sometimes that's one of my faults, and I apologize for that. I'll try to move on rather slowly, but I want to start off in Exodus and verse 24, and we're going to read 24 through 27. And I basically wrote down when I was putting this together, I wrote down the command to remember for all generations. Quote, Exodus 12:24. And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever, when you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised. You shall observe this rite, and when your children say to you, what does this rite mean to you? You shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the house of the sons of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes. And the people bowed low and worshipped. The next scripture that I want to turn to is found in Psalm 78, starting in verse 5. It says, for he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, when he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Next, I'd like to turn to Exodus 12. Verses 5 and 6, and I wrote down next to that, the first Passover, the blood that saves. Quote, your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Turning to Exodus 12, 22 and 23, it says, you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintels and to the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of this house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. Hebrews 11:28 says, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. Delivered but not yet faithful. Exodus 13:3 says, Moses said to the people, Remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery. For by a powerful hand the Lord brought you out from this place, and nothing leavened shall be eaten. Exodus 14:13 says, But Moses said to the people, Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Deuteronomy 8:2 talks about the 40 years in the wilderness. It says, quote, You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know that was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Turning to Nehemiah 9:19-21, You in your great compassion did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not leave them by day to guide them on their way, nor the pillar of fire by night to light for them the way which they were to go. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. Your manna you did not withhold from their mouth, and you gave them water for their thirst. Indeed, 40 years you provided for them in the wilderness, and they were not in want. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet swell. Numbers 14:22 is a warning. Surely all the men who save, Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. Psalms 95:8-10. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, and the day of Massa, in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me. Though they had seen my work for 40 years, I loathed that generation, and said, They are a people who err in their hearts, and do not know my ways. 1 Corinthians 10:5-6 says, Nevertheless, with most of them God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. 1 Corinthians 10:3 says, And all ate of the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. John 6:31 says, Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, Truly I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Christ is our Passover. John 1:29. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. 1 Peter 1:18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. The blood still matters. Romans 5:9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Hebrews 9:22. And according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life, even when faced with death. Deuteronomy 8:11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God, by not keeping his commandments, and his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, whom brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Judges 2:10. All the generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. Luke 22:15. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Luke 22:19. And when he had taken some of the bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way he took the cup, and after he had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant of my blood. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, for as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Hebrews 3:12 says, take care, brother, that there not be any of you that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Hebrews 4:1 says, therefore let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it, for indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. The first generation came out of blood, but only the faithful entered into the promised land. We need to remember. We need to obey. We need to walk in faith. Does that make sense? Deuteronomy 16:3 says, you shall not eat leavened bread with it 7 days. You shall eat it with unleavened bread, the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, so that you may remember all the days of your life and the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. We're going to take a quick break and have a song, When I See the Blood. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about the Passover and the Passover being our door. We'll have that song.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear. Yes, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass.
chiefest of sinners Jesus can save. As he has promised, so will he do. Oh, sinner, hear him, trust in his word. Then he will pass over you in is coming, all will be there, who have rejected, who have refused. Oh, sinner, hasten, let Jesus in, then God will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, what compassion, oh, boundless love. Jesus hath power, Jesus is true. All who obey are safe from the storm. Oh, he will pass over you. When I see the blood,
amen. Let us go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, let us never forget your deliverance. Let us never take lightly the blood of the Lamb. Lord, keep us from our unbelief. Keep us from wandering. Strengthen us to walk in obedience, Lord. Raise up the faithful remnant, a people who remember for all generations. Oh, Lord, we just ask, Father, that we may be found obedient to you, loving you and serving you the best that we know how. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, this last week I went and listened to, actually last couple of weeks, of some of Pastor Peter's messages on the Passover, and a lot of really good stuff, and just sat down and started making some notes. And a lot of you out there have heard Pastor Peter's talk about, you know, the Passover being the door. And I sat down and started doing a Bible study on that, and wrote down some notes, and I just want to read them with you. And the more that I dug into it, the more that it made sense. And the Passover, Pastor Peter's called, you know, the Passover the door day, and preached that, you know, as we observe the Passover, that for the upcoming year, that it's one of those, we enter into that protection that we get from Psalms 91, and it's a way of entering into Christ and how Christ is our rock. And a lot of really good information there, and I had a hard time finding some of it. A lot of you know that we've been in the process of moving the office, and there was just a lot of stuff that still trying to get organized, and you know how fun that kind of stuff is, but it's coming along really good. But I know, looking at the clock, I got to move on. I wrote down Christ the door, the Passover and the door day. The blood was placed on the door. At the first Passover, God gave very specific instructions in Exodus 12:7. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house in which they eat it. Exodus 12:22 says, you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it into the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintels and the two doorposts, and none of you shall go outside the door of this house until morning. The blood was not placed randomly. It was placed on the door. The door was the place of salvation. Exodus 12:23. Quote, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you." The doorway became a boundary between life and death, a line between judgment and mercy, and a place of protection. If you were inside the door, you were under the blood. If you lived where you lived, if you were outside, there was no protection. Christ declares, "I am the door," in John 10, verses 7. We're going to read 7 through 9. "So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door and the sheep.'" I am the door of the sheep. I apologize. "I am the door of the sheep." Are we not a sheep? "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus did not say he was the way. He said, "I am the door." The connection, Passover and Christ. At Passover, the blood was on the door. The people had to enter in, and they had to remain inside. Today, Christ still is the door. His blood still covers us. Does it not? Do we not enter him and remain in him? The door day, a prophetic picture. Passover is not just a feast. It is what we can rightly call the door day. It is the day when God marked a doorway with blood, when God distinguished his people, and when God provided a way of escape. Entering through the door, John 14, verse 6 says, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" Hebrews 10, 19 says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh." The only way in is through him. Exodus 12:22 says, "None of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning." They were not only to apply the blood, they were to remain inside. John 15:4-5 says, "Abide in me and I in you. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." It is not enough to know the door. It's not enough to see the door. It's not enough to talk about the door. We must enter. We must abide. We must remain. Does it make sense? Today, many stand near the door. Some admire it. Some speak of it. Some even believe in it. But there's very few that enter and remain in it. There is only one place for safety in the world. I truly believe that we're living in the times of wars and rumors of wars. And I believe that it's very possible that this is the most important Passover. And I think, I know that for us here, it's the most important one that we've observed. There's only one place of salvation, that is in Jesus Christ. John 10:9 says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go out and find pasture." Christ is the Lamb. Christ is the blood. Christ is the door. And this is the door day. I believe that as we partake of communion today, April 2nd, Passover of 2026, that it is the most important Passover that we will observe, that we have observed, that's for sure. I don't know. If we, well, maybe next year will be more important. I don't know. We'll see what this year brings. But I know that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm going to pray over the bread and over the loaf. And we'll have a moment of silence. And if there's, I guess, you know, we have all got different things maybe in our lives that we're going through. But today we're going to be doing it out of obedience. We're entering into Christ when we're praying for that blood of the covenant to flow over us. And we're praying for this upcoming year that the Lord protects us in a mighty and powerful way, and that he delivers us out of the hands of our enemies. And, you know, I remember Pastor Peters over and over and over telling me, you can't have that Red Sea deliverance without being in a Red Sea predicament. And, you know, we've got a lot of enemies that are fighting against our people. And, praise the Lord, I see that there's people waking up all across this land, and you know, that's encouraging. I see people that are waking up to who the enemy is and what they're doing and the plots of the enemy, and praise the Lord for that. For us here as a body of Christ and those that are joining us, I just want to pray for us and as we enter that door. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, we're grateful and honored to be observing the Passover. Lord, as we observe the Passover and remember the price that was paid and the deliverance that you gave our forefathers, oh, Father, we thank you and we praise you for that. We thank you for that Red Sea deliverance. We thank you for taking our forefathers out of the hands of the Egyptians. Lord, we thank you for the blood that was slain, for the blood that was put upon those doorposts and those lintels, so that our forefathers could escape. Lord, as we partake of your body, we don't only just eat of your body and drink of your blood, we drink of the blood of the Lion of Judah. Lord, we ask that as we do this, Father, that you purify our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and that you take anything that's evil in us and that you remove it. And we pray that we can be a light into this dark world, Father. We pray and lift our hands up to you, and we say, here we are, Father. Use us and deliver us out of the hands of our enemies. We know that we're facing enemies that are much different than our forefathers faced, but you know each and every one of them, and you know what we're facing, Lord, and we want delivered out of the hands of the enemy. We want them to not to have anything on us, Lord. We pray that as we do this, that we may do it righteously and justly, Father, and that it be pleasing in your sight, Lord. We're trying all the things that we can, Lord. We're trying hard. And we pray, Father, that as we do this, that you bless us, that you give us more discernment, more of the Holy Spirit, more power, more authority, more wisdom. Oh, Father, we claim the truths of and the protection of Psalms 91 upon our lives and upon our households, upon our wives and our children. Lord, we pray, Father, we don't apply that blood physically. We apply it by eating of your body and drinking of your blood. We come and do this in obedience. And if there's anything else that we're missing, Lord, we just ask, Father, for that. For the Holy Spirit to bring that perfect prayer before your throne. Let as we do this and hear our prayers and let them be a sweet aroma to your throne. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may drink of the blood. We're going to have a song. This one is Up From the Grave, He Rose.
Low in the grave he Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever, death he overcame. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Verily they watched his bed, Jesus, my Savior.
with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever, death he overcame. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever, death he overcame. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Amen. Well, can you turn it up here, bud? Thanks. You know, and I was thinking, and just wanted to share this with you, and this wasn't in my notes. I didn't know how much time it was going to take to get through that. But, you know, we don't apply the physical blood. We don't sacrifice a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. But it's what we do, and I try to do it on a regular basis, and for the last 15 years, 20 years, and maybe longer than that, I don't know. It's been a while, but is what we do, and Passover is the day when we try to anoint our houses, and I'll take the anointing oil, and I will apply it to the doorpost and the lintels of my house, and go around the house and do that, and pray protection upon my household for the upcoming year. And try to do that every Passover, and just ask, and pray a blessing into the house, that the Lord blesses the house and keeps evil far from it. And as we're living in the times that we're living in, I think that that's one of the most important things that we can be doing. And would encourage you that if you feel led to do that, do that. Apply the anointing oil to the doorposts and lintels of your house, and do a prayer. And we got time. I'm going to read Psalms 91. This is, you know, what Pastor Peter's taught us, that as we partake of the Passover, this is the protection that we get from it. And it's something that you know, a lot of people have mocked and make fun of us for, and you know, that, okay, whatever. But you know, anything, you look around in any of the protection that we can get that comes from our King is so valuable and so very important. You know, you just you look around and we see so many sick people and infirm people and people that are just, you know, dealing with family problems and divorce problems and marriage problems and problems with their children. And the closer that we are to God, I believe that it keeps that stuff far from us. We've got to continue to abide in Him. And as I do believe that this is the most important time of the day of the year to partake of communion, I do believe that it's important to do it every week. And we do it every week. You know, draw closer to Him and apply that blood to our lives. And, you know, you look around and there's, you know, without Christ, it's people really don't understand forgiveness. Anyway, I'm rambling, but I do want to read Psalms 91. And dear Heavenly Father, as I read Psalms 91, I pray, Father, that this protection be added and applied to our lives and to our households. in Jesus' name. Psalms 91, starting in verse 1. Security of the one who trusts in the Lord. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him, and let him see my salvation. Amen. We're going to go ahead and close out with a song. This is good Carl Klein song, Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Light. And I appreciate you folks for being here. Thanks for joining us this evening. And this message is going to replay also in the next hour. Did have a bunch of people that couldn't make it and asked if there's any way that we could replay it in the following hour. So we're going to do that. And but sure do thank you folks for being here.
So hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depths of their minds by masters who rule them with lies. They feed them on falsehood till wrong looks like right in their eyes. For all of those with eyes that can see, whose spirits are quickened by words they can hear, the truth is alive and he lived as a man whose life was a gift to this world. And if he has called you, this mystery will soon be revealed, and it will set you free. The truth will set you free, just like he set me free. Sheep wandering in this world, who grope through the darkness, who stumble and fall. Your shepherd is searching, he's calling your name, he's seeking you out.
because he is the way. Yes, Jesus is the way. He is the only way. Jesus, the way and the truth and the life, whose grace is so wondrously free, came from the Father, handed down his life. He is soon to return for you and me. To those who hope and pray, they'll see the day who patiently wait for his kingdom to come. Your sins have been cleansed by the blood of a man whose death on the cross paid the price. There's only one name, and it's only through his sacrifice that we obtain his life, because he is the life. The name is Jesus Christ.
I will lift my hands to you, for you are one. said, where two or more are gathered, his name he is in our midst. And if we have faith to believe, we can move mountains. I will sing your praises all the day, and I will lift my hands to you. For you are wonderful and mighty, and you deserve our praise.